The book of Judges, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 12. Again, it's an extended little portion in order to accommodate the things that are said here about this man, Ehud, the second of the judges that we're going to be thinking about. So, our reading is from Judges chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon, and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, Keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlour, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, and shut the doors of the parlour upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlour were locked, they said, Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlour. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Sirath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, Follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies the Moabites into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, and all men of valour, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. It is a fact easily proved from scripture that, and indeed from experience, that men and women and boys and girls left to themselves will soon fall into sin and do things that are hated by God. This has always been true, and it always will be. The prophet Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And there is a constant battle with sin in a believer's life. We shall discover that it is to be seen all the time in the history of Israel. And while that comparison is not exactly so with individual believers, there is a kind of cycle that God blesses the people. He does them good. He saves them from their enemies. And then after a very short time, despite all their promises to be faithful, their expressions of thanks and joy, they turn again to their own ways and they forget that the Lord has helped them. For Israel, their great sin seems to have been idolatry. This nation that had been so blessed of God, so wonderfully delivered from their enemies, from the time of Abraham and Moses and Joshua, all the way through their history. This nation that knew the Lord, that knew the only true God, and saw him at work in their lives, they always wanted to be running after false gods. Idols of their neighbours, idols of their enemies. And in the opening verse of our passage today, this little word, again, tells us how sin is deep buried in our hearts and soon breaks out to separate our fellowship from God. But we're also going to learn something else as we study the scriptures together. We're going to learn something else from the Bible. But despite the waywardness of God's people, the Lord will not let the people of his love and the people of his mercy remain in their sin forever. He corrects and he restores them with great patience and faithfulness, just like a loving parent does with a disobedient child. And on this occasion that we've read about today, in order to correct his people, the Lord put into the heart of Eglon, the king of Moab, a desire and an opportunity to invade the land of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the tribes of Israel. And so this king of Moab invaded across the River Jordan, because Moab was on the east side of Jordan, and it probably suggests that he had already defeated the tribe of Reuben on the east side of Jordan, although that's not mentioned, before invading Benjamin and the area around the ruins of the city of Jericho. So he came across those fords as well, and he was able to enter into Israel from that point where the children of Israel had previously crossed the Jordan as well. And the other thing we notice about this invasion of Israel by Moab is that Eglon brought his friends with him. He brought the Ammonites and he brought the Amalekites. And we discover from that, I think, and some who are older will perhaps testify to this, that the world's troubles often come in threes. And so it was for the children of Israel on this occasion. The last period of servitude that we read about together had been 8 years before the people cried out for help to God, and God raised up the first judge, Othniel. This time, it was 18 years. And such is the rebel nature of our sinful hearts that it took 18 years for the people to cry out for help to the Lord. After this time, the children of Israel could bear no longer the trouble that they were under, and they cried to the Lord for help. But why did they wait? Why did they wait for 18 years? Why did they not cry out after 17 years or 16 years or 10 or 5 or 2? Because they were content to suffer rather than admit that they needed God's help. Let you and me not be like that. Let us not be like these Old Testament people. Let us ask the Lord for help early in our lives, early in our troubles, before the trials of this world become so heavy that they are unbearable. And may God give us all grace to call upon him. Ehud was a man raised up by God to be the deliverer of his people. He was a left-handed man, and he wore his sword or his dagger on his right side. He was sent by Israel to give a present, or probably an annual tribute, to Eglon, the king of Moab. Eglon, we've already read, was a very fat man, and he had probably made a fort near to the ruins of Jericho in order to have a place to go to every year in order to collect these annual gifts from his subjects in Israel. And we're told that Ehud arrived at Eglon's residence and he handed over the present. He probably made a little speech as well. And then he left with the men with whom he'd come. However, he didn't go too far. He only went a little way before turning back by himself to the king's house, where he let it be known that he had a secret message for Eglon. And Eglon was curious. He wanted to know what this secret message was. And maybe because Ehud told him it was a message from the Lord, and as an idol worshipper, he wanted to know what the gods had to say to him, so he permitted Ehud into a private room in order to hear the message. And Eglon, despite his size and despite the fact that he was a king, stood up when he heard that this was a message from the Lord, probably because he was superstitious and thought that here were the gods and he had to stand up in honour of the gods speaking to him. So eager was he that this fat king stood up when Ehud came into his presence. As he did so, Ehud took his dagger from his right thigh and plunged it so violently into the king that the blade and the handle entered the king's flesh and stuck there. And Eglon died at once, slain by Ehud the judge. Ehud then locked the door of the king's chamber and he calmly made his escape through a waiting room. As Eglon lay dead, his servants thought that he must be, at the toilet or asleep or not wishing to be disturbed. So they remained outside his room. And this gave Ehud time to escape. Ehud returned to Mount Ephraim and he announced the success of his mission. He blew a trumpet to gather all the people together and he led them to take the fords of Jordan near Jericho. This was a strategic place. This was the way back out of Israel to Moab for all of the Moabites that were now dwelling in the land of Israel. So he trapped the Moabites in Canaan. And in the coming weeks and months, their king dead, and their way back to their own country cut off. The people of Israel slew 10,000 of their oppressors to rid the land of Moabites. The people, at least in this part of Israel, afterwards enjoyed peace for 80 years. Here's a couple of lessons that we can draw from this passage. The Bible tells us that sin is an offence against God and a constant presence with us in this life. Even those who trust in the Lord Jesus as Saviour are never free from sin and temptation while we remain in this flesh and in these bodies. Only in heaven will we truly be without sin when these old fleshy bodies are changed into glorious bodies like the Lord's own body. The children of Israel were often charged with the sin of idolatry. And sometimes we think an idol is a little statue that people bow down to. But it can be actually anything that people can make an idol of. Idols imply the idea of worshipping a creature or an image. But everything we set up in our hearts to admire tends to lessen our honour for the Lord, and that can become an idol. Some people make their own body an idol by looking after it and exercising it and pampering it and being very careful about the things that they eat, and they think to themselves that their body is the most important thing in the whole world. Some make it their work or their hobby or their pastime or their family. May the Lord always be first in our lives as he leads us to understand his way of life in Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself God, came into the world, he did so as a deliverer raised up by God to free his people from the slavery of sin. Just as Ehud delivered Israel from Eglon, so our great deliverer has saved us from our enemy. The big difference, however, is Ehud slew Eglon in order to save his people from the dominion of that king. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to die to save his people from their sins. Sin requires judgment. And because we all are sinners, our sin must be punished by God who is holy. God will not and cannot just let us off with sin as though it doesn't matter to him or as though it doesn't matter to us. If we are to be saved, someone must suffer in our place. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for God's elect when he died. He took our sins as his own. And though he was sinless, he carried them in his own flesh and paid the price of our redemption from sin and guilt and wrath and the just penalty of the law. Just as Ehud had been a deliverer of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ became our deliverer from sin. When we say we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not simply mean we believe he existed. We mean that we trust that he, by his death in our place, has taken away all the judgment of God against us and set us free, delivered us from slavery to our sin and our enemy the devil, set us free like Ehud delivered the children of Israel from Moab. Ehud was just a man. And soon the children of Israel returned to their sin and the cycle began again. However, our Saviour is God the Lord. And while we still sin because we live in these sinful bodies, yet if indeed the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, all our sin is forgiven because Christ paid and atoned for it with his own precious blood. He sacrificed himself for us. Ehud was a picture of a deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true deliverer of all his people. And he alone is to be trusted, worshipped and honoured in our lives. Amen.